we have probably Dan with us right now.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Bring him on. Mr. Dan.
Yes, I am here.
Glad to have you with us, brother.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
It's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to have a good subject tonight, Dan. We're going to be talking about health.
Yeah, we're going to stir them up.
Well, that's good. Maybe we get people to thinking, you know. If there's folks out there that are ready to go into eternity, they don't have to worry about this. They can just listen as spectators. Now, if there's people out there that don't know Jesus, I think they'd better listen very intently. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. In fact, I think this is a very important message for even people that are saved at this moment, because it's possible to lose your salvation and end up in this horrible place.
Dan, let me ask you a question before we get started. Do you want phone calls tonight or not?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that the latter half of the show.
About halfway through, folks. Okay, Dan, just take your liberty then.
All right. One of the very first things I'd like to say is, at this very moment, as you sit in your car or if you're in your home or wherever you may be, imagine there are people in hell fire right now being tormented because of their sin. The very place that Jesus spoke of repeatedly is where these people went after they died physically. Hell is not the grave, like the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching. Hell is not real, only if you believe it is real. And there are many other kinds of myths about hell. It's very disturbing when you run into cultic groups that vehemently oppose what the Bible teaches about hell, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists. These people will argue on the basis of God's love and mercy that he could never send anyone to eternal torment. Instead, he will annihilate them. Now, that's what they teach about the wicked. They say that the wicked will be annihilated, but that's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches something altogether different than that. There are a number of different scriptures that can be submitted as proof. Just consider the one that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, if you check the context of Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, you'll see that this occurs after the thousand-year reign of Christ. So, we find out, if you would back up just to one chapter, to chapter 19, that the false prophet and the Antichrist were thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur before the thousand-year reign. And imagine, after 1,000-plus years being in this fire and brimstone, they were not annihilated. They were not burnt out of conscious existence. They still were experiencing pain and torment. Now, that's an awesome thing to ponder. In fact, it's such a scary and terrifying thing. I can see why many people would like to explain away what the Bible teaches on this. But, folks, this isn't something I'm making up. This isn't something that Jerry or Kathy or any other person will be making up when they tell the wicked that they're on the road to hell, and unless you repent, you'll be lost. This is what the Bible declares. Jesus and his apostles taught there was a heaven and a hell. And shockingly, the Lord said most people will go to hell. I repeat, Jesus said most people will, in the end, go to this horrible place called hell. It'll be like an unending nightmare. And imagine, after 10,000 years of being in torment in the fires of hell, you will still have just as long to be in that pain and that suffering. See, that brings altogether a different light on what Jesus did for us and how important it is to live for him and that we follow him and turn from sin. The Lord Jesus gave the most stirring and awesome teachings in the entire Bible on hell and salvation. But when you consider what he taught about hell in Mark chapter 9, he said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Jesus taught, and by the way, the context shows he's teaching those already saved. those that had already been saved, the apostles, the disciples. He told them directly that sin could drag them to the fires of hell. Now, if you look up what the Bible says about the fires of hell, you'll find out it's eternal, unquenchable, and raging. Now, imagine that. It's eternal, unquenchable, and raging. I remember years ago when I would share these precious eternal truths with Jehovah's Witnesses. They would try to say, well, the fire that I know consumes whatever is on fire. Well, that might be true. The fire we know of here in the natural does consume the garbage or the cardboard box or the house or whatever it is that might be on fire, but that doesn't mean this fire does, because this fire was created for spirit beings. It was created for the devil and his angels, spirit beings. And if you think that God's not capable of doing this kind of thing, that is producing an everlasting fire that will not consume, all you have to do is go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And that's where God appeared to Moses in burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. Now, you see, God is able to do this. Some people wrongly think, well, the devil is in charge of hell. That's not true. The devil is not in charge of hell. God is in charge of hell. And again, this is a blow to what a lot of people have been taught about Almighty God. The God of the Bible is a compassionate, gracious, slow to get angry, abounding in love God. He's made a way for salvation. But if people don't accept that way, and if they don't follow Jesus and put into practice his word, if they turn from him and go back, and they never come back to the Lord again, like the prodigal, or never come back like Peter after Peter disowned the Lord, well, the Bible tells us that God will pour out his vengeance on his enemies. Listen to Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and maintains his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. A lot of people think that God will because of God's mercy. God loves them. God will see to it they'll enter the kingdom in time. Everybody's going to heaven, some people think. No, that's not true. Jesus never said everybody in the end will go to heaven. Jesus instead said that most people will go to hell. Jesus said the minority will enter the kingdom of God. Folks, I plead with you. I mean, I beg you from my heart. You're in sin right now. You need to repent. You need to turn from those sins that are dragging you to hell. Jesus was not joking when he said it's better for you to cut your hand off and cut your foot off and gouge your eye out rather than to go to this eternal, unquenchable, and raging fire of hell prepared for the devil and his angels, this lake of burning sulfur, the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, this issue of burning sulfur is also interesting because if you recall, in Genesis chapter 19, God poured out his wrath and his vengeance down on the Sodomites with burning sulfur. But there's something that Jude mentioned. It's found in Jude, verse 7. That's related to that. It says, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those that suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Let me read that last part again. They serve as an example of those that suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Now, just stop and think about this for a moment. Ponder this. When was Sodom destroyed? Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns were destroyed at least a minimum of 4,000 years ago. And these people have not been annihilated. You might say, well, how do you know they haven't been annihilated? Well, because they're going to stand before the judgment. They're going to be judged. That hasn't occurred yet. Now, you think about that. 4,000 years in agony, in pain, in torment because of their sin, and they're not wiped out of existence yet. And yet people were telling us, the Jehovah's Witnesses especially, they're very aggressive in trying to teach that hell was the grave and speaking out against eternal torment. Folks, the Bible teaches there is greater condemnation. If you don't read that, or if you don't believe that, read over Matthew chapter 23. That's what Jesus said was reserved for the Pharisees that were defrauding widows of their homes. and making a pretense of prayers and other things like that. He said greater condemnation was awaiting them. Now think about this a minute. If annihilation is what would take care of all of the wicked dead, then how could there be greater condemnation? It would all be the same. It would all be equally the same. Every wicked person would experience the same fate, annihilation. But Jesus said some of these wicked people will experience a greater condemnation. You see, there's more pain and more torment in the fires of hell for some than for others. That's not all. Jesus said, woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born, in Mark 14:21. Now think about that a minute. Have you ever pondered Mark 14:21? Now tell me, what did you know before you were born? You knew nothing. You see, you were in a condition because you were not in existence, just like what these people were saying will happen to the wicked dead, that they'll be annihilated, they'll be knocked out of existence. But that's not what Jesus said would happen to Judas. Woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. He's going to be in a worse condition than before he was born. A worse condition than knowing nothing. Well, the Bible says he'll be in eternal punishment in Matthew 25:46. And folks, if you look up that word in the Greek, it could be translated torment. Eternal torment. Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but people will go to hell. Multitudes of people will go to hell with the devil and his angels and be in pain and suffering there. Now, not only is this reality, of course, the other side is true, too. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. But, folks, let me ask you this. Who's going to hell? Who is going to hell? Well, of course, people will say the murderers will go to hell and the bank robbers and thieves and all kind of other wicked people, the child molesters, they'll be in hell. Well, if they don't repent, they'll certainly be in hell. But there'll be many others in hell that went to church. And especially, I want to emphasize this because I know religious people are listening to this show. Multitudes of people will be in hell. They were water baptized. They'll still go to hell. They were saved for a time period. And they fell away because of persecution, the test of persecution. It was too much for them. They couldn't stand up under the ridicule and the laughing and the various types of persecution, this test. And they fell away. Well, the Bible says some will abandon the faith and give heed to doctrines of demons. We just got an email not very long ago from somebody that said they were a Christian, but now they're in witchcraft. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, that many will turn from the faith at the last generation. And then Jesus said in one of his awesome teachings, and his teachings were so precious and awesome, in Matthew chapter 25, when he gave the parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus said 5 out of 10, that's 50%, 1 out of 2, their lamp will burn out. It won't continue to burn for the Lord. It'll stop burning. What is it? Maybe the cares of this life. Somehow the devil got in on them, worked on them, and their faith perhaps has slowly eroded away. Maybe the devil used the subtle form of temptation of unforgiveness, or maybe it was lust. Maybe it was hatred. Who knows what it was, but the devil has a bag of tricks, and folks, we need to be alert to his tricks, and we need to stand opposed to all his temptations. We're in a war against sin. The Bible says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you're any of these things, you can still repent and get forgiven. You can still repent and come to Jesus and become a child of God and make a use of your life. Rather than wasting it, you could serve Almighty God in this life and be His ambassador. Folks, there are people in hell that would give anything to have the chance you have right now to repent. I repeat, there are people in hell, in pain, in torment, looking back on their life and their many botch-ups and their blunders and the times they yielded to the devil's temptation, that would give anything that you have now to repent. Turn from your sins. Don't go to hell over that affair. Don't go to hell over smoking marijuana or taking drugs or drinking or anything. Come out of those bars and live for Jesus. The Bible says, be holy in all you do. Sin drags people to hell, according to Jesus. I repeat, Jesus said sin drags people to hell. You need to avoid hell at all costs. Don't go to hell. Folks, do not go to hell. And again, a lot of people think because they go inside that church building, they won't go to hell. You could read your Bible, pray, pay your tithe, be the most faithful person in that church, be a preacher, and still go to hell. Judas was a preacher. Judas was sound in doctrine. He went to hell. He knew the Lord at one time, and Judas afterwards, he fell away. He was a disciple. He was an apostle, held the highest office in the church, and somehow the devil picked him off. And folks, it has happened to many others. It doesn't have to happen, but it has happened. People haven't been on their guard. They haven't been careful. You see, they've been listening to perhaps some savage wolf on TV or radio or reading some book that's teaching eternal security or license. And these people don't know how important it is to turn from wickedness. Sin is the problem. You need to live a crucified life for Jesus. You're talking about eternity. You have a soul. And eternity is a long, long time. 100 million years from now, and throughout the rest of eternity, you'll either be in heaven or hell. And if you're one of the few to enter the kingdom of God, do you love Jesus as one of the few to get into the kingdom? Or perhaps you love the world and the things in the world. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:5-7, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. I said God's wrath. That's what hell is, the wrath of Almighty God. Listen to this important message.
Your unsaved loved ones trapped in a cult. Visit our website for free information on Catholicism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Eternal Security, Saturday Sabbath Keeping, Ellen G. White, The Prosperity Method, Baptismal Regeneration, End Times, and more. Point your browser to www.evangelicaloutreach.org. Please don't forget to visit our audio page where powerful sermons and beautiful Christian gospel music can be heard to edify you spiritually. We also have many true testimonies, cartoons with a stirring spiritual message, and free e-books. Visit www.evangelicaloutreach.org today.
Amen. We have a lot of important information for people that are ensnared and deceived by cults. And right before we go back to Jerry and Kathy, I'd like to share something from Psalm 11:6-7. Listen to this. The Bible says, on the wicked he, that's God, on the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. Now the Bible says, on the basis that God is righteous and he loves justice, he's going to rain down fiery coals and burning sulfur on the wicked. You see, it says in Proverbs 11:21, be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished. But you know, after some of the false teachers, the heretics, get done with you today, you'll think that they can get by without punishment. They won't be punished. After all, everybody's going to heaven, some of these people teach. Some of these people teach, well, they'll be annihilated, so, you know, that's really not so bad. Now, my wife, before she got grounded in the Word of God, she was deceived by Herbert Armstrong's cult, which likewise taught annihilation of the wicked dead. And that's what she thought for a while. See, folks, if you're not in the Bible, you can be deceived. The entrance of God's Word brings light. Jesus wasn't joking, folks. He said there's a hell. Nobody spoke more on hell than Jesus. I remember one time my wife and I were handing out salvation tracts, and an eternal security proponent got very mad at us. He said we were unloving because our literature mentioned hell. Well, folks, if it's unloving to mention hell in your message, then Jesus was the most unloving person that ever lived. He's mentioned in the Bible teaching hell more than any other person. that was the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, love manifested in the flesh, spoke about hell, and he warned the wicked as well as the righteous. Some of these warnings about hell were given directly to the apostles. You see, if eternal security was true, that would be nonsensical, but eternal security is not true. It is possible to lose your salvation, folks. You need to be faithful to the very end, because we're talking about eternity. Jerry, Kathy, what would you like to add?
I just thank you, Dan, for coming on. It's such a once again, a refreshing and a blessing to hear someone that's not afraid to tell the truth. We've lost the urgency of the gospel in our days because we've lost the reality of hell. To the willful sinner, there will one day be a surprise, a tragic surprise. If anyone would like to dialogue or call in, ask questions, or Dan can answer your questions tonight, you can call us at 314-969-6300. Dan, I wanted to ask one thing while they're calling. Let me give another number, 969-6300. One more time, 314-969-6300. If hell isn't real, why did Jesus Christ come to earth and walk among us? To get away from heaven? I don't think so. Somehow I don't think the manger looked that good. Jesus came precisely because we were condemned to hell unless he did something about it. If God's wrath were so not a big deal, why was Jesus so concerned about it? If there is no hell, why the cross? Jesus believed hell was so serious that he gave his life so that we wouldn't have to go there. Those who reject Jesus must accept the consequences. And I want to ask you, Dan, do you think Jehovah's Witnesses will go to hell?
Well, if Jehovah's Witnesses don't come to salvation, a biblical salvation, they most definitely will go to hell. I remember in the early days of my Christian walk, because my brother was deceived by the Jehovah's Witnesses, he was converted and became one. He wanted me to be a Jehovah's Witness. And we were corresponding perhaps two or three letters. He lives out of state. We were writing two or three times each week about different issues. And what I have to say is, knowing what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe and other people that don't know what the real gospel is, they don't know the Jesus of the Bible, these people are in serious trouble. And the reason they're in serious trouble is not because they're not sincere. They're reaching out to God, but you see what has happened. Savage wolves in sheep's clothing, a false prophet, a false teacher, hindered them from entering the kingdom of God by teaching them, for example, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, well, getting born again is only for 144,000. And they teach them all other kind of nonsense and foolishness, like that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, the first and greatest creation of Jehovah God. This is nonsense. That's not what the Bible teaches about Jesus. So there's all kind of problems out there, and sadly, it's compounded because people aren't in the Scriptures for themselves. They're just trusting somebody to teach them what the Bible says. Folks, you need to get into the Bible and learn firsthand, because you're talking about your eternal soul spending eternity in heaven or hell forever. There's only two gates, two roads, two groups of people. That's all. Only two. No purgatory, no limbo, no reincarnation, no transmigration. There's no second chance. You're not going to do this thing again. This is not a dry run. This is the test. This is the war. This is it. This is the one that counts. Your eternal destiny hinges on what you do here and now with Jesus and his mighty gospel. Amen.
You know, Dan, I keep thinking, remember the story that Jesus told about Lazarus and the rich man?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was a very sad story, wasn't it, where he had asked Abraham to send Lazarus over that he might dip his finger in water and touch it. He said, for he was tormented in those flames. Can you imagine an eternity of that? And Jesus told that story 2,000 years ago. Here we are now. You know that he's still wanting that same drink of water, and he's going to want that for the rest of eternity. But, you know, there's nothing, some of the images of hell, it's a place of unquenchable and eternal fire, a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place where the undying worm torments hell's inhabitants. It is the lake of fire and brimstone. It's a place where people experience the second death. It is a place of destruction where the inhabitants forever cut off from the presence of the Lord. And can you imagine that now? Being a creature that's made in the image of God, and yet never again, never ever again will you experience the presence of the one that you're made in his image. Can you imagine that for eternity? I think that's going to be the number one torment of hell. And the Bible talks about torments of hell, not just the torment.
Yes, Dan.
Yeah, amen. It's an unbelievable, unending nightmare is what it will be. There will never be any kind words. never be any beautiful sights to see. You'll hear weeping and gnashing of teeth, as you yourself will be weeping and gnashing your own teeth if you go to this horrible place called hell. You see, folks, no person is worth going to hell over. No sin is worth going to hell over. I don't care what the amount of money is. Don't go to hell over any amount of money. Don't go to hell over power. Don't go to hell over anything.
Will religion keep you out of hell?
Well, the Bible teaches you're going to have to follow Jesus. That's the only way to escape hell. A lot of people go to hell. There are people on the road to hell that are religious.
Yeah, and we need to understand this, that there is a proper road that God has declared for the life of an individual that wants to escape the torments of hell. And it's not in religion. It's only in relationship, personal relationship with Jesus, and then the cleansing of your sin through his blood.
Yes, Dan, I think we have a call coming through, but I wanted to also, just while that's coming through, what about the agnostic and the atheist and the unbeliever and the one that doesn't have time, the one that's neglecting his salvation, or willful sin?
Well, what these people better do, they better believe on Jesus, take up their cross, deny themselves, live faithfully for him. Why should they continue to live in ignorance and error? Why should they walk around under the control of the sinful nature when they can be set free by the power of Jesus' blood? They can be set free from that sin addiction and sin bondage and be free and have peace with God.
Amen.
And a purpose to live.
Dan, we have a call. We're going to take that. It's from Dave, but I want you to think about another broadcast sometime. Teaching on the sinful nature. There's an attack against that today, and people don't believe we have a sinful nature. But we have Dave now on the line. Dave, do you have a question or a comment to ask Brother Dan?
Yeah, I do. On the concept of hell and everything, don't you agree that according to the scriptures and according to Jesus' words, that all these other religions and stuff, such as Islam and stuff, they're all going to hell? So people believe that. And because I think that Jesus spelled out very specifically that he's the only way to be saved. And then the apostles after that, in the book of Acts and so on, and many other things we find, they all, you know, they saw the same thing. And yet I hear people say that, well, there's only one God, and these are just different ways or something to them. But Jesus said he's the only way, and that's when I think that's right. I believe that that's right. And these other so-called ways, they're not ways. They're ways to hell is what they are. And they're I guess, avenues that Satan's brought up. And frankly speaking, you know, I can understand in the sense of politics or some like a president or a politician not weighing down on one side or the other. But when it comes to priests or pastors, they should never weigh down on one side or the other except the side that's right.
Okay, Dave, let's let Dan comment to that. Dan.
Okay. Yeah, so first thing I'd like to agree with David, there is only one way to enter the kingdom of God. Every other way is a false way. There's only one door and one name in which salvation is found, and that is the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross, rose from the grave, and he's coming back. He's God in the flesh, and the God that came down from heaven and shed his blood for the redemption of mankind, he's the one we are to trust in. And Jesus will give you salvation now, and he's the only hope. It doesn't matter if you're sincere. A lot of sincere people end up in hell. They get deceived. They end up in hell. The Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, was very sincere when he was dead in his sins. He was religious, and yet he was sincere, and yet he was unsafe. Folks, you have to be right. Your faith has to be in Jesus. You have to turn from your sins. If you're not willing to repent, you'll perish. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Notice, you have to repent so that you won't perish. God doesn't want you to be damned to hell, but you will be condemned to hell unless you turn from your sins.